But you can't exhaust this book. So anything that I teach out of the Word of God would be profitable because the Bible said it wouldn't be. So it's not that I don't think that, but I'm old-fashioned. And that I really think God really has something for this service today. So I don't like to reach back in and get file 25. Not that I've never done that, because I have. Because it said be instant in season and out of season. So sometimes, you know, it may not be bubbling off the top, and I'm glad that I do have that reservoir. I can grab that and get something and teach. But I don't like doing that. That ain't what I like doing. I like having something, the Lord place something fresh on my mind. Because when He does that, I know there's somebody here that needs what I've got to say. So that gives me the confidence and the assurance to do that. So that happened to me last night. I laid down in my bed, and I still didn't have anything. And as I was laying there in bed, this thought came to me. And so I got here early this morning, tried to work it up, and I don't know what to do. That remains to be seen. But if y'all will pray with me and help me, amen. I guarantee you that if it don't, then we won't be here long. Amen. It might not be good, but it won't be long. You know what I mean? From the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 6. And the 18th verse. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Ain't you glad about that?
Amen.
God said it, that's just how it is. That we might have a strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge. To lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Never lost my hope. Never lost my hope. Never lost my faith. Never lost my joy. Most of all, I never lost my praise. I'm glad I got hope today.
Amen.
There's not anything in this world that is terrible a feeling as hopelessness. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I have been there to where it looked hopeless. Hopeless. I want to preach to you about a little hope today. Which hope we have as the anchor of the soul. Brother Thad, remind me to see you after church. I got something I want you to do. I'll forget, okay? It's got something to do with tonight. So it's not, I'm not having you run an errand, but something I need you to do to help me for tonight. Both sure and steadfast, which is entered into that within the veil. The two immutable things, one is hope. That's the first. Hope. That hope that's inside the veil. That's one immutable thing. Number two. Which the forerunner for us has entered, even Jesus. Made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The high priest. That's the second immutable thing. Now, I'm not preaching on that. That's just for your information. I'm lifting out of verse number 18. Word then, who have fled for refuge. Who have fled for refuge. I want to teach this morning on our city of refuge. Our city of refuge. Will you pray with me? Eternal God, we're so thankful for your kindness and your goodness. Oh, Jesus, we love you, Lord. We appreciate you, God. I ask you to help us today. Ooh, thank you for that refuge that we have in you, Lord. You're our refuge, Lord. Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. We love you. Jesus' name. You may be seated. I got another reading I'm doing, and it's a little lengthy, but I will need to read it for you to really get the import of this class. In the 35th chapter of the book of Numbers, I'm going to read verse 6, and I'm going to drop down to verse 9. Numbers 35, verse 6, then I'm going to drop down to verse 9. And among the cities which he shall give to the Levites, which was 48 of them, there shall be 6 cities for refuge, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither. And to them shall add 42 cities. Verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and saying to them, when ye are come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities of refuge for you, that when a slayer may flee, that's the second time this word flee is used, thither, which killeth any person unawares, that means accidentally, they shall be unto you for cities of refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not, until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And these cities which ye shall give, ye shall have these 6 cities which ye shall have for refuge. Ye shall give 3 cities on this side of Jordan, and 3 cities ye shall give in the land of Canaan, which less than a half a day you could be at any of these cities. They were clearly marked. They were very accessible. Also, all of these cities were built on mountains or hills, where they were visible. You could see them. You could know to run. And they were very accessible. I'm told that they would paint on stones along the way, you know, directions to the city. City of refuge, this way, that way. They were clearly delineated for it. Well, if you wanted to find them, you could find them. They were there. And these 6 cities shall be a refuge for both the children of Israel and for the stranger. For the stranger. And for the sojourner. You know, when you read, a lot of folks read the Old Testament, and they read at it instead of reading it. And somehow it has been placed in folks' mind that only Israel was in consideration. And no one else was really seen in consideration. Well, the covenant was with Israel and Abraham's seed, but God never left anybody out. Look here in this verse. For the stranger or for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth a person unaware may flee, that's the third time, thither. And if he smite him with an instrument of arms so that he die, he is a murderer. And the murderer shall sure to be put to death. But he smite him with throwing a stone wherewith he may die. He die, he is a murderer. And the murderer shall surely be put to death. Or he smite him with a weapon of wood wherewith he may die. He die. He is a murderer, and the murderer shall be put to death. And the avenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. He shall slay him. But if he thrust him with hatred or hurl at him by laying in wait, he shall die. Or if the enemy smite him with his hand, he shall die. He shall smote him, surely shall be put to death, for he is a murderer. And the revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, in other words, there was no premeditation, it wasn't intentional, or he cast upon him anything without laying weight, or with a stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of refuge, whether he was fled. That's the fourth time this term is used. He shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without, you're only safe while you're inside the city. Oh, thank God for the sanctuary. But to be covered and protected and secure and safe from the avenger, you gotta stay inside the city. This ain't no time to be out of the church. Amen. The avenger of blood is after you. And if you step outside the city, then he has a right to get you. But you know what? I was running when I came to the city. I was running for my life. Amen. Well, yes, I was. I was running for safety. I was running for protection.
Yes.
I was running for refuge.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I was. And I got to a safe place.
Yes.
Amen. And I know it's safe. And because I know it's safe, I am to stay here.
Yes.
I am to abide here.
Oh, yes.
Amen. Moses said, Lord, thou hast been my dwelling place. I don't want God to be a place that I visit with every once in a while. I want him to be my habitation. I want him to be my dwelling place. I want him to be my pavilion. I won't stay inside the city. And the revenger of the blood finds him without the borders of the city of his refuge. The avenger of the blood shall kill the slayer and shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return to the land of his possession. These things shall be for a statue unto you throughout your generations and all your dwelling. Brother Andy, if you'll get up here a little closer. Chancy, get me that water. Okay, son. You're a great American.
Praise the Lord.
Hear what they say about you. Some of you put a bit more water in that. I appreciate it. I don't want to work you to death. I've said this many times, and let me say this again. If you're reading this book, and you don't find Jesus on every page of this book, thank you, son. I appreciate that. This windmill runs on water. Amen. If you don't find Jesus on every page of this book, then you've missed the reading. This whole book is about him. The Old Testament is the will of God concealed. And the New Testament is the will of God revealed. But when you're standing on this side of Calvary and you're looking back from Malachi to Genesis. And you're looking at anything in there that has to do with the service of God. If you will look, it will be painting a picture about Jesus. That's why Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law, but I am come to fulfill." There's five offerings in the Old Testament. I don't have time. I plan on maybe this winter, the Lord willing, on teaching on the tabernacle plan and the priesthood and the offerings. And everything in there typifies Jesus. It paints a picture of Jesus. You know, we taught here for some Sundays and got stuck on the mercy seat and how the mercy seat typifies Calvary and the blood, Jesus. And I hope you got something out of that. That He is our mercy seat. Well, everything in this beautiful book tells the story about Jesus that is to come. So when Paul, I really believe Paul is the author of Hebrews. You really don't say who it is, and there's a lot of opinions. Some say, feel like it's Apollos. Even read one person that said they thought it was Priscilla. It had to be a woman, you know. But I'd almost guarantee you it wasn't Priscilla. You hear me? Something I was fussing with somebody years ago about what we're talking about. I don't want to get into that because I get way sidetracked. We'd be in a mess. We was talking about the subject of women's role in the church and the ministry and whatever. And somebody brought up, said, "Well, what about Phoebe?" I said, "Well, you tell me what she done and we'll find out. I don't have a clue what she done. And if you have a clue, then the Lord must be delivering Dead Sea Scrolls to your front yard, because the Bible don't say what she done. It said what she was." "Well, didn't the Bible say she's a servant?" "Sure does, and everybody in this house is a servant. If you're living for God, you're a servant. But everybody in this house ain't a preacher."
That's right, man.
That's another subject for another time, praise the Lord. But I really believe Paul was the author of Hebrews. And Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians. That's why the whole thing, you don't find these other, you know, in the book of Hebrews, it's the tabernacle and the priesthood and the offerings. You know why? They understood that. They were used to that. So Paul, or whoever was the author of Hebrews, is letting them know that picture Jesus. You see that brazen altar? That's Jesus. You see that altar of incense? That's Jesus. You see those priests? That's Jesus. You see those sacrifices? That's Jesus. You see that door? That's Jesus. You see that mercy seat? That's Jesus. So here in this letter, throw it back up here, brother, the sixth chapter, or wherever I was ever at in six of Hebrews. Flip it back up there, brother Tory. Now I've misplaced my light. When they done this, whoever emptied these drawers out up here. Try to remember where you put my lot. My brother Ronnie bought me a little, that laser deal. I know it has to be in one of these drawers here, but I don't have it, so I do the best I can without it. But I'm going to find it. Look, the part of the verse that I really emphasize. Who have fled for refuge? And when Paul wrote that, in those Jews' mind, boing, Now that don't mean much to me and you when we read that. But when Paul or whoever wrote the book, who have fled for refuge, brother, the lights come on in their head. Because they had been raised their whole life with those cities of refuge. Whereas someone had committed an unpremeditated murder, that they could run. Brother, you know why most bank presidents don't, you know why the church is not really full of Donald Trumps? Who's this guy that just died? Steve Jobs, hallelujah. And Bill Gates, you know, and the Rock, you know why the Rockefellers, who's kind of like the richest guy in this part of the country? Some big wealthy guy in this part of the country. Okay, well, whoever he is, you know why he ain't sitting here this morning?
Self-sufficient.
He's self-sufficient. But do you know why that guy was running for the city of refuge? The avenger of the blood was on his trail.
Right, right.
And he needed safety.
Yes.
Well, praise the Lord. That's why Paul said, not many noble are called.
Yeah.
And not many mighty are called. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you. That's it. Now I can remember how to work it. It's been a while. Oh, there you go. What have I done? I could tear up a BB. Who have fled for refuge? Brother, they know. Man, I'm a hoofing it. What you hooting it for? The avenger of blood is after me.
Uh-huh.
You know, folks come in this house and drugs has got them bound.
Yeah.
Alcohol's got them bound.
Yeah.
The law's after them and their life is falling apart. You know what? They don't come waltzing in here. They come running in here.
Yeah.
You won't come running if you don't need refuge. I thank God when I started running, there was somewhere I could run to, and that was to Him, and He's my refuge. He's my refuge. Now, brethren, when I come across this morning, I nearly had a hallelujah spell right there in the office. Now, you may already know this, and this might be just for me, okay? But, you know, I just excited myself. Joshua chapter 20, verse 1 through 9. Joshua 20, 1 through 9. Man, when I stumbled on this morning, and got scribbling on this paper, I said, Lord, I wish them people would hurry up and get here. Or sometimes I hate to see you come, but it wasn't this morning. Amen. Man, I wish they'd hurry up and get here. If I could give, I'm inspired. If I don't know if I'd be that inspired if they wait much longer. But we're here, so I don't know what's going to happen. All right, what does it say? Joshua 20.
The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying,
yes.
Speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge.
Yes.
Whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses.
Go ahead.
That the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. They shall be a refuge.
You see that word there? See that word flee there? I'm going to tell you what. Now, if you feel led to go, I'm not knocking anybody. If you feel led to go pray for somebody, I'm not taking that away from you, all right? Okay? I'm not taking that away from anybody. Somebody, if you feel led to pray for somebody this morning, I'm not taking that away from you. I'm going to tell you what. If you ain't got enough get up and go and gumption to get up out of your lazy seat and get to that, You don't know you need any refuge.
Right.
But if you know the Avenger of blood is chasing you, everybody might be gathering around you trying to thank you for your dead grandma to get one tear out of your eye. But when I come to church, I was running.
Yeah, right. All right. Yeah. Amen.
I wasn't but 11 years old, but I was running.
Yeah.
That's the matter with some folks. They think they done got a favor by letting God save them. They never got the realization. Hey, I need refuge.
Yes,
yeah. You know what? Let me tell you this. Oh, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I'm going to tell you this like it is. You know what? God's church was doing all right before I got in it.
Right.
And I quit tomorrow, the church is going on.
Yeah. Right.
I don't really add anything to it. It adds to me.
Right.
That's why I don't need to have a chip on my shoulder. Oh. Amen. Well, praise God. Well, they didn't ask me to sing. And they didn't ask me to do this. And they didn't ask me to do that. Well, play on you.
Go ahead. Amen. Amen. Yes.
I'm just glad I'm here.
Amen.
I'm here by His mercy.
Amen.
I can't throw my weight around. I'm here because God's good to me.
Yes.
I was running.
Yes.
I was running for my life.
Yes.
And the Avenger of blood was biting my heel. But I slid in that altar and I told God how miserable I was and how sorry I was and how low down I was and how weak I was and how sinful I was and how much I needed Him.
Yes.
You know what He said? He said, you get in here. This is a sanctuary.
Yes, it is.
No hunting in here. Woo! You know, United States, you know, the Catholic Church. Now, you know how I feel about the Catholic Church. But the Catholic Church, always in all these countries, have exercised what they call sanctuaries. And they didn't feel like they were breaking the law to offer folks that were fleeing for their safety sanctuary. That's why, you know, in World War II, a lot of priests would hide Jews in their church. You know, and if they had been caught, particularly in France, if they would have been caught. They would have been put to death, but they hid them there. You know, that one family, you know, hid Anne Frank. Where was that? In Holland or wherever that was at? But hid Anne Frank. That time that they hit her, she found a sanctuary. But if you don't feel like you need a sanctuary, then you're not going to come running. But the folks that come running is the folks that need the sanctuary. Well, I got a good job, and I'm feeling pretty good, and I want to sow my wild oats, and I want to do this, and when I get broken down, run down, give out, used up, then I'll give my life to God. Well, He may hear. I'm not saying that He's not going to take you, but I'm going to tell you,
all right.
I felt Him on my heels.
Yeah.
And I said, if I'm going to outrun this fella, amen. Those cities was accessible. It was clearly delineated. You could find it. I want to tell everybody in this house, refuge is not too far from you. You can get to it if you get up and get after it. If you wind up lost, it's not going to be His fault. He's accessible. He's there close by. You can run and get there. He's available. Available, Peter. Right there. It's accessible. Run, running. Go ahead.
They shall be.
Yes.
Your refuge from the Avenger of blood.
Yes, yes.
We have thus cleaved unto you, of those cities shall stand at the enemy.
Yes,
the
yes,
city.
Yes.
Shall declare His cause in the ears of the elders.
You got hope in your mouth. That's why Paul said, if a man believes with his heart and confesses with his mouth. You've got to tell God, oh, how low down and sorry you are. That's what repentance is all about. God, it's me. It's not the deacon. It's not the preacher. It's not the choir. It's not my next door neighbor. It's not my wife. It's not my husband. We live in a victim society. Well, I'm a serial killer because my great aunt Jenny didn't give me an apple when I was a baby. You're a killer. Them folks are serial killers because they're devil possessed.
That's right.
Sure.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Man, you just don't know my story. I was abused. There have been a lot of folks who's abused. But you don't have to be an abuser because you was abused. There's a lot of folks that was born in alcoholics' home, but you don't have to be an alcoholic. There's a lot of, oh, glory to God. You can get out of the altar and confess to God. Well, I'm like I am because of my mama and because of my daddy and because of society and because of God. I've never had none of the luck. Everything has always been against me. Boo-hoo. I've not had a fair chance. That ain't repentance. Repentance is me, Lord. It's me. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I am unrighteous. I am undone. I am unclean. I'm the one that needs. That's what repentance is. Well, praise the Lord. Guilty. 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 Some of us might be guilty by reason of insanity, but we're guilty. Guilty, Lord. Guilty. What does it say?
They shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place.
Oh. Woo. Ah. My Lord in heaven. My Lord in heaven. Come here, Zimmerman. I don't know what all you've done or been involved in your life while you was out of church. You probably don't want everybody here to know all of it. Not even to your mama or your wife. But he knows all of that. And when you came to God, you might never tell another living soul. But you told it to him. You told it to him. And it said, take him and what? Give him a place. You ought to be in jail. You ought to be in jail maybe. But I'm giving you a place. I came running for refuge, and I should have a cell. But he gave me a place.
Yes, amen.
Put me in this beautiful one. He gave me a place of mercy. He gave me a place of grace. He gave me a place of kindness. Paul said, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He give me a place. No one knows you like you. And he gave you a place. Yes, go ahead.
If the avenger of blood pursue after him,
yes,
then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his
head. Nope. That's why we just don't give up on folks. Backslide and stuff so easy. We fight for you.
That's right. Amen.
We fight for you at this church.
Amen.
You may not be no praying for yourself, but these folks will be shaking the daylights out of you.
Right.
Amen. We fight for our brothers and sisters. We fight for our families. You can't have him. You can't have him. I'm standing at the door. You can't have him. You can't have him. You cannot come in here and get them. We're not going to let you come in those doors and get them. If you get them, it's because they walk outside the door. And I'm not talking about the door of this building. I'm talking about what this building represents. But as long as you stay in, if you sin and stay inside this door, we're going to fight for you.
Right.
We're going to pour in the oil and wine. We're going to try to preach the hide off of you.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to try to preach you to the altar.
Yes, amen.
Yeah.
We're going to grab a hold of you. No, I'm not letting you go. He'll have to pull. He'll have to pull. We're holding on to it.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Now, if he goes outside that door, I can't go out with him. But I'm holding on.
Yeah.
To the last strength that I have, I'm holding on. Yeah. Devil, you can't have him.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Amen. Yes, yes. What does it say?
Because he smote his neighbor unwittingly.
Yes.
And hated him not before time.
Yes, yes.
He shall dwell in that city. Until he stand before the congregation for judgment.
Yes, yes.
And until the death of the high priest.
Now here's where no type is perfect. No type is perfect. Somebody said no type sits on all four legs. No type is perfect because the difference between this city of refuge and that, our high priest does not die. Well, look at that. Let me see. 7:25 of Hebrews. I think. Not sure, but I think. Yeah. Get the verse above it, maybe.
But this man?
Yeah, that's it. But this man,
because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable.
Woo! High priest ain't gonna die.
All right.
I ain't worried about going back out of the city. Getting my possession. What do I have out there anyhow? Heartache and trouble and worries and cares. My high priest is never gonna die.
All right.
Well, while we're on that, just move on down to the next verse.
Wherefore he is able also.
Yes.
To save them to the uttermost.
Save them to the what?
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 Uttermost.
Save them to what?
Uttermost.
You'll have to work at being lost. You can be lost. We don't believe in eternal security. You can be lost, but you're going to have to work at it.
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Because God's plan is to save you to the uttermost.
Yes,
Brother Dunn, I preach to folks. I'm going to be honest with you. In my mind, I gave up. And I'll let us aggravate that. Preaching get aggravated at you. You need to work with people, and they're so stubborn and ignorant and dumb and self-destructive. You even want to grab a spit. You got any sense at all? But you can't do that. I ain't big enough to try it. If I was as big as Zimmerman was before he started disappearing, I may try. But that won't work. That won't work. But I tell you what I have. I've seen folks that said, fully on them. You just preach and preach and preach and pray and counsel and encourage and preach and preach and preach. And seem like they've got that self-destructive deal in mind. So I'm not fooling with them. Let them do what they want to do. And the next thing I know, I'm in there praying. And I got a message that fits them. Lord, I don't want to fool with them. Now them last 52 messages ain't moved them. Why would I want to waste another on them? But his plan the same to the uttermost. Well, I don't know about you, but there's been probably times some folks that gave up on you. But ain't you glad he ain't gave up on you? And it don't really matter if I give up on you, as long as he's still holding on. It may be judgment that saves you. You may wind up being a paraplegic to get to be saved. Well, praise the Lord. You may lose everything that you have to be saved. But that might seem like bad stuff, but that's mercy God sent in your way because you're not headed.
Uh-huh.
And His mercy and grace don't move you, so He gets His Lord out. You know, that's why it talks about there in communion there in 1 Corinthians 11. Said, when we take it, said, we should judge ourselves. Said, another person should not judge us. We should judge ourselves. And said, and if we judge ourselves and don't do it right, he said, then we are judged. He does the judging. That we are not condemned with the world. I'm going to tell you what. Before God lets old Donnie go, if Donnie has had a heart toward him, he'll beat the living daylights out of him.
Right.
He'll have to walk over mercy and grace, then he'll have to walk over the board. Now, praise the Lord. All you parents that's got kids, well, just cause your kids does idiot and stupid stuff, you try to talk to them like a parent. You know, you've got your arm around them, and you're trying to talk to them, and you're trying to reason with them. And next thing you know, it's Brother Randy's looking at him, hey, boy, I brought you into this world, I'll take you out. That's because he don't want you. That's that last ditch of love. That last ditch of love is, hey, that sweetie honeydew ain't doing it. I got to show you how I'm way behind. But move, forget all that stuff. Get back to Joshua. I'm way behind. I'm getting way too far outstretched. I ain't even got where I'm going. Amen. And I'm in trouble. Time has got me in trouble. I got to get this done in about 15 minutes. Amen. Or y'all be clocking out on me. What does it say?
Start that verse over again. Verse 6.
Get the next one.
They appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali.
What? They appointed Kadesh in Galilee. In Mount Naphtali, they appointed Kadesh. 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 God never wastes any words. They appointed Kadesh. And since this is going to represent Jesus, since Jesus is our refuge we run into, then it might be good to find out what Kadesh means. The word Kadesh means to sanctify or to make holy. So the first city that God appoints them is Kadesh. And that means to to make holy. My city of refuge. When I ran into Him is what made me holy. Because He is holy and I am in Him. Oh, praise God. You get a hold of that. Now, I'm not holy because my sleeves are on. Or I've got a good haircut. Or all the things that I don't do. That's my response and my identification with His holiness. But I am holy because I'm in Him. Oh, glory to God. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9 said, "Know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves." And it goes on down the line. I mean extortioners, effeminate. Help Jesus. You got a little effeminate in you, and you, amen, gargle some rocks. Put a splint on your hand. Where stay up, praise Him.
Right.
Effeminate. Abusers of themselves of mankind. That's homosexuals. And all that crowd. Man, wouldn't you hate to be around in the middle of a bunch of them folks? Wouldn't that be awful? But verse 11 says, "Such were some of you." That's what you was. But now you're washed. Jesus' blood makes the vilest sinner clean.
Amen.
Right. I'm here to tell you that a guy, somebody said, "Is there a place for a homosexual and racing church?" There sure is. And it's right there on that altar. Woo! And that altar, man, when he gets up from that altar, he sees them gals going by, his eyes bug out. Wow! It does some changing in you.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Such were some of you. You've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified in the name of our Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. I was a drunkard, but I've been to Kadesh. I was a whoremonger, but I've been to Kadesh. I was a drug head, but I've been to Kadesh. I was a thief, but I've been to Kadesh. And when I got into Kadesh, I'm holy. Woo! He took my sins and gave me His righteousness. I'm holy. Why, land sakes, Brother Chancy, you're holy. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, Brother Caleb, you know who I am? I'm holy. But I'm in Him and He's holy. We're in Katie's. We were unholy, but now we're holy. We were filthy, but now we're clean. We were unrighteous, but now we're righteous. We're citizens of Katie's. Citizens of Katie's. They shall appoint Katie's in Galilee in Mount Naphtali. All right, brother?
Shechem and Mount Ephraim.
And they shall appoint Shechem in Mount Ephraim.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. They shall appoint Shechem in Mount Ephraim. Remember, all this typifies Jesus. You know what the word Shechem means? The word Shechem means shoulder. I will appoint them a shoulder. That's why it said, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. You know what he does with the shoulder? When the lamb goes astray, and he goes hunting for the lamb, he brings the lamb, and you know what he does? He puts it on his shoulder. And he brings him home. I've got strength on his shoulder. I've got contentment on his shoulder. I've got security on his shoulder. Woo! I'm on his shoulder! Why, he said, cast all your cares upon him. He said, come and learn of me. You make it lowly in heart, for ye shall find rest. Lay on my shoulder. In that city of refuge, I found a, after I got in there and I found out he was holy and he made me holy, I found a shoulder to lean on for my trials and my tests and my sorrows and my struggles and my battles and my fears. Hallelujah. I got to seek him. And I leaned on his shoulder. Run, flee to the city of refuge. You sang the old song, someone to care, someone to share all your troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky, wipe the tears from your eyes. You're his child, and he cares for you. I don't care if you believe this or not, but this happened to me. When Sister Epley was in the hospital the day after her surgery, and they gave her 5% or less to make it through, and she made it through. Then later on that evening, she began to fall. She fell. Her blood pressure began to plunge. And I don't remember the bottom number, but the highest number on the top was 45. I don't know much, but I know. The doctor was sitting out there in the nurse's station. I went to him. I said, what's going on? He said, we told you she wasn't going to make it. Yesterday, the surgery was just a fluke. She's not going to make it. He said, but I will tell you this. If she makes it through tonight, it will not be us, but it will be him. I'm sitting there in her room. I run everybody out. Made all of her family leave. I was sitting there with my hand on her hand. And I was telling God. I said, God, you don't have to heal my wife. You're God. You can do anything you want to do. But I wish you would. And I was sitting there weeping. And as God is my witness, I felt someone come in that room. There's a presence come in that room. And it felt like two great big old arms wrapped me around and squeezed me tight. I was there at Shechem. I was leaning on his shoulder. Brother Abernathy come running in the room. Said, Brother Epp, I didn't mean to disturb you. But said, we just got a call from Brazil. From Brother Cleve Lammeth. And said, the Holy Ghost spoke to him to tell you, help is on the way and everything's going to be all. You need to lay on his shoulder till he sends you the answer. Amen. Glory. He's my Shechem. I've had to lay on his shoulder so many times. I've got to hurry. Go ahead. Yes. Which is Hebron. Now, Hebron becomes very important. I'm not going to go through it. But in the history of Israel, you get your own concordance out and look it up. But you know what the word Hebron means? The word Hebron means fellowship. It means fellowship. In this city of refuge, I'm made holy. In this city of refuge, I have a shoulder I can lean on. And in this city of refuge, I have fellowship. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open that door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. Oh, Brother Tim, probably sometime on that old road, around that old 18-wheeler down the road, having to miss church and hate it. You're driving along there, trying to keep between the ditches. You're driving along. Maybe start singing a song of Zion. Start praying a little bit. And the next thing you know, way out there in the middle of nowhere on that 4-lane highway, you feel Hebron. Because he comes in that car and says, "Hey, Tim, I want a few moments of your time. You look like you're going through a little struggle here. And I come down to have a little." That's why folks that don't get in worship service. Now you don't have to turn and flip. And you don't have to run your head into that wall. But when you stand there with your head down and your arms down and your mouth closed, oh, you don't know what you're missing. The Lord, you don't have to do what I do. You may not roll in the floor and foam at the mouth, but when you sit there and you don't, He wants, God wants your fellowship. I don't understand why. Brother Sparta, it makes no sense to me why God would want my fellowship. That's crazy. What do I have to offer God? Nothing. But He does. And I promise you one thing. If you go fellowshipping Him, it will not be a one-sided conversation.
That's right. Amen.
He'll fellowship you. In this city of refuge, I have found my fellowship with Him. What a joy divine. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arm. Why don't you throw your hand in the air just one moment. We're getting ready to finish. Jesus' name. Thank you for the fellowship we have with you. I'm not going there to read. I'm going to quote this. I think most folks, when they quote this verse, I really believe they misunderstand it. I don't claim to be a know-it-all, but I just think they misunderstand it. Where it said, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light. Does anybody know what a noun and an antecedent is? The antecedent, which are pronouns, describe the last noun. You go to the last noun. Like, He means the last noun. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. When we have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. You can't be in fellowship without having a cleansing. If you shake, rattle, and roll when you never get a tear down your eye, you don't know what fellowship is all about.
That's right. Amen. That's right, Elder.
The only thing that moves you is the organ or the guitar or the drum. Thank God for all of that. But that's all that moves you. You don't really know what fellowship's all about.
That's right. Amen.
Fellowship is when He can come in and squeeze that heart. Oh, let's move on down. I've got to hurry. I'm sorry, saints. I'm sorry. But I'm going to get these. I'm going to get these next three because I'm not going back to this again. And on the other side of Jordan. Go ahead.
By Jericho eastward. They assigned Bezer in the wilderness.
And the word Bezer simply means fortification. It's a fortress. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous runneth into it and they are safe.
Yes.
He's my fortress.
Yes.
That's why he said, "Fall above all things, taking the shield of faith, that you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts."
Hallelujah.
You know why it doesn't get you? You don't stay behind the shield. Get out from in front of that shield.
Yes.
Them little old shields, one of these little old things that these little old gladiators did in Rome. Man, them shields were big bodyguards. I mean, you could hide the whole body behind them. And the majority of the time, you wasn't bearing it. Your armor bearer was bearing it. And he was there in front of you. What Paul's saying, you better not be concerned by the armor bearer. You better get a hold of that shield you sent.
All right, yeah.
You will not get hit if you stay behind the shield. Because Bezer, I've been to Bezer.
Right.
And Bezer is my fortification. He's my strong tower. He's my safety. Bezer. Bezer. All right, go ahead.
And Ramoth in Gilead.
And Ramoth in Gilead. Ramoth in Gilead. Boy, you know, I like this. Ramoth. You know what the word Ramoth means? The word Ramoth means high place. That's why when you talk about going to Jerusalem, it was always, let's go up to the house of the Lord. They ascended, they went down from Jerusalem. They went up to Jerusalem. That's why Paul called this New Testament church in Hebrews 12:22, said, "You are come to Mount Zion, brother." When you cross that threshold and walk in here for service, you climbed in the highest elevation in Newton County.
Right.
Woo!
Right.
Yeah. You may have lived all week long in the valley of indecision, in the valley of discouragement,
yeah,
in the valley of depression, in the valley of confusion,
right,
in the valley of, well, praise the Lord. I want to invite you, come on up to the mountain.
Yes, amen.
Come on up to Ramoth. Come on up to the high place. Higher than your troubles. Higher than your situation. Higher than your circumstance. Higher than your trials. High, glory to God. Higher than your trouble. Come on up. The air's clear.
Yeah.
Those folks went to the Rockies up there, you know. And you get up that mountain, kind of hard to get your breath because it's high. I tell you what you don't see up there, Brother Tim. You don't see no smog. Well, it's too high for the smog. Some of y'all live in the smog. That's what we're living in all week long with them cussers you're at work with. And them ungodly women and ungodly men telling their own nasty jokes and doing their all the ungodly stuff. And you're in all that smog. And it'll affect you. It can't help but affect you. Not smog. And why, when you walk through those thresholds, woo, the air's clear.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yes.
I've been in smog where you couldn't hardly see your hand in front of your face. You've been down in the valley too long. Get up out of that valley. Climb on up to this mountain.
Come on.
The air's clear.
Yeah.
You can breathe up here. There's no smog up here. Woo! You can see up here. You can't see down in that valley of smoke. But if you get up on this mountain, you can see where you're going. You can see you're not a citizen of this world. You're a citizen of heaven. You can see them. Oh, John was on the Isle of Patmos. History says they tried to boil him in oil and he wouldn't cook. Amen. And finally they said, well, we'll send him off to Patmos. That was where they sent prisoners. And they're telling who was on that Isle of Patmos. Murderers and whatever. And old John's on the Isle of Patmos. You read the first part of it. He said, I was in here. He went on a pastoral retreat. He was there for suffering and tribulation. He's there and he's down. And I don't know what quickened his mind, but he said, I was in the Spirit. There wasn't no choir. There wasn't no bugle. There wasn't no prophet to prophesy over him. There wasn't no prayer band to pray with him. He's just there by himself on that Isle of Patmos. But something, he got thinking about Jesus and said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And when I looked, I seen somebody coming. Been there 60 years since he had seen him. You know the way he's walking, he kind of looks like the Son of Man. You know, I'm old, and you know, John's right at 90 years old, and I'm old, and it sure looks like him. And that voice resonates out. I am the first and the last. And you know what he does? In the middle of that tribulation, he laid his hand on me. Lord, I wish he'd walk through this house tonight and lay his hand on some of these folks that's in this house today. Said he laid his hand on me. And next thing you know, he's writing about the calamities that's coming, judgment that's coming. But he said, I saw that new city, that new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, adorned like a bride for a husband. You know what? You talk about a high place. God wants to get you higher where you can see heaven. Get out of the smog. You can't see heaven in that smog. That's why you need to come to church. If you don't get in this elevated place, this high place, it won't be worth living for God. Living for God will be rules and regulations. And I can't do this. And I can't do that. And poor me. I can't suck on cigarettes. And poor me. I can't dip snuff. And poor me. I can't go half naked. And poor me. I can't paint my face. And poor me. I can't whack my hair off. And poor me. And they expect me to wear long sleeves. And poor me. I can't have no television. And poor me. You'll get all that in the smog. But if you get up here on the hay, but if you get up here, in Ramah,
amen.
You get a vision of Ramah, you'll leave the smog behind.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, Asaph said, I almost slipped and fell. Till I got to God's house. When I got to God's house, I climbed up on Ramah. I said, wow, wasn't I stupid? I'm just hanging in here. And I'm down to the last one. What does it say? And he's my holiness in Kadesh. He's my shoulder in Shechem. He's my fellowship in Hebron. He's my fortress in Bezer. He's my high place in Ramoth. And in Golan, he's my joy. That's what the word Golan means. Joy. Had a man in church years ago and just kind of a happy guy. And loved the Lord and he just kept going to work and he's happy. And finally, one of the guys saddled up to him and said, what do you own? What do you mean, what am I on? You come in here grinning and whistling and singing and all that. What do you own? Matter of fact, it's like it would be BJ and Brittany's great uncle. What do you own? He's just a grandpa. What do you own? I own nothing. No. Ain't nobody come here grinning and laughing and happy like you are that ain't own something. And then he just hit him. He said, you better believe I'm own something. I got the Holy Ghost.
Yes, amen.
There ain't no high like that Holy Ghost high.
All right.
That's right.
Amen.
You old sour puss, you need to take a trip to Golden and get some joy in your life.
That's right.
Get out of that old money grub. Feeling sorry for your sorry
amen.
Self.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Jesus ain't never done you nothing but good.
That's right.
Bringing you down and out is you're sorry. You're unthankful.
All right. Yes.
You'll quit being ungrateful and unthankful and finding fault and picking. Amen. And then get a vision. Amen. Of Golden. God's been so good to me. He put joy in my soul.
Yes.
He forgave my sin.
Yes.
He's building me a mansion in heaven. Why, I've got joy. That's why that song says, I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. Hallelujah. Tell you what, if I'm around somebody very much and they're a whiner and complainer, I head for the hills. Amen. Because that stuff is contagious.
Amen.
Amen. You hang around somebody, and all they got is a bad tail and whining, it's catching. It'll catch you. I used to have a lady I used to pastor. I learned. I said, well, how are you doing, sister? Bad mistake. I mean, she had a list. It was bad and getting worse. Finally, I learned. Praise the Lord, sister. I'm glad you're having a good day. Amen. I move on. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. You know, when everybody's got their troubles and they not wanting to hear yours. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody fussing because the steak's too tough. Amen. And the one they're fussing to ain't had steak in a month. Said, I wish I had some old tough steak I could chew. Well, my wife's mad at you. She's probably got a right to be. Hallelujah. My husband don't appreciate you. Well, you might ought to do more. My kids are not appreciative. Well, they're tired of hearing your belly aching. Hallelujah. You know why kids hang around the home don't want to leave? You make it a happy home. You make it a happy home. They'll be moving the daughter-in-law and son-in-law, all the grandkids back with her. Every time you turn around, there they are. You know why you got a happy home? But if you're all the time, they're ready to go anywhere for your house. I'm going to tell you what, I can't do everything done in this church, but when folks come through that door, they're not going to hear me. It's so bad. I don't know if we're going to make it or not. I tell you what, the church is in such a bad shape. Well, you can go, you anywhere you want, you won't hear that. You ain't going to hear that here. I done been to Golden, and I got joy. Having church and we're having prayer meeting. I'm a preacher's going on, and Sister Dunn's over there hollering and carrying on. She can't even see what's going on. Well, praise the Lord. I look back there, and old Brother Cotton, he can't even see what's going on. He's got his hand in the air, he's raising. They can tell you a sad story, but you know what? If you call them on the phone, they're going to be talking to you about joy.
Yeah, all right.
We have joy.
Joy. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You got widowed early. And you could have cried a long time. And no doubt you missed your good husband. And you just could have sunk in despair. But you know what you done? You just ran your shoulder back. You said, I'm raising my boy in church. I buried my husband, but I didn't bury my joy. I lost my job, but I didn't bury my joy. I lost my house, but I didn't bury my joy. My health may not be like I want it to be, but I didn't lose my joy. Amen. I'm in the golden. In the golden. This city of refuge got some joy in it. Can you raise your hand? Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. He's my shoulder. He's my fellowship. He's my fortress. He's my high place. And He's my joy. He's my sanctuary. I want you to know, I'm not ashamed to say, I came a-running. I came running for refuge. And I found everything that I wanted. Let's sing it one more time before I let you go.
He gave His life for me, made everything new. He is my everything. How about you?
Let's love Him one more time before we go. We love You, Lord. You're my refuge, Lord. You're my refuge. You're my refuge. You're my refuge, Lord. You're my refuge.
You're my refuge,
Lord.
Both great and small. He gave His life for me. Made everything new. He is my everything. How about You?
Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Amen. You're dismissed to the night. No choir, no choir.